Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of Mystic Radio. In this particular show, we're going to cover 3 main points when it comes to Sufi mysticism. 3 things to get you started on the journey to understand what Sufi mysticism is and what it is not. Now, let me reiterate, because I've already gotten some emails and comments in the first episode of Mystic Radio, thinking that mysticism is conjuring spirits, doing magic, connecting with spirit guides, or doing all kind of strange hocus pocus things. That is not what mysticism is. Many of us here in the West don't understand that the early Christians were mystics. That's why many of them went into the desert and built monasteries. Actually to get away from all of the doctrines and, rules of the church. And they wanted to be, in their own little communities, or some of them were hermits. They lived by themselves. They wanted to pray. They wanted to meditate. They wanted to contemplate and experience a oneness with God. Now, the same in the Islamic community. Sufi mysticism is about prayer, it is about meditation and contemplation and connecting with God, or the presence of God that is all around you and within your heart. So that's really all it is. It's not anything New Age. The New Age movement, we have to understand, took bits and pieces of every religion of the world and kind of put their spin on it. And so here in the West, we think what the New Age movement has taught that mysticism is, isn't mysticism at all. I've seen New Age books on mysticism, and they'll say how to be a mystic. And, looking through it, it's telling people, how to do all these rituals with crystals and candles and magic and, conjuring spirits. So that's not mysticism. That's occultism. Mysticism is not occultism. So let's talk about Sufi mysticism. Let's talk about this connection with God, connecting with the presence of God in your life and within yourself. The first thing we have to realize in Sufi mysticism is that God is everywhere. God is not just, he's not a man on a throne with a long white beard and the crown on his head. Sitting in some elaborate celestial city, watching everything that goes on planet Earth and in the universe, like he's watching a TV show. No, in Sufi mysticism, God is everywhere. He's very close to his creation. And in Sufi mysticism, God is love. He is not vengeful. He is not angry. He's not looking to send people to hell. In fact, in Sufi mysticism, as it states many times, even in the Quran, because Sufism is the mystical branch of Islam, even in the Quran, it says that God does not wrong us. We wrong ourselves through the choices we make, the actions we take, the thoughts we think, the things we say, the things we do. So we're either walking the straight path of peace and of love, or we're walking our own path and making bad decisions and bringing a lot of stress and fear and creating situations in our lives that are less than pleasant. So point number one, God is everywhere. God is very close to his creation. God is love. And in Sufi mysticism, there's the saying, the man who knows himself knows God. That's point number two. How do we know ourselves? Who are we? Are we this, I got a fuzz on my shirt. Are we this physical body? Are we just our job, the amount of money that we have, in the bank? Who are we? The man who knows himself knows God. Well, point number two in Sufi mysticism, getting to know who you really are. Not the physical body, not your career, not how much money you have, not what you look like, not how strong or beautiful you think you are. Knowing yourself, knowing your real self, is getting to know your soul, your spiritual self. And when you get to know yourself, who you really are, life starts to look very different. All of these things in the material world don't bother you quite as much as they did, or they don't bother you at all. You have a sense of peace, patience, poise. You know, you feel something within yourself and something in your environment that just keeps you in this state of peace and trust. Now, also getting to know ourselves means we have to be patient with ourselves. You know, we have to love ourselves, forgive ourselves when we make mistakes, give ourselves a second chance if we blow it somehow in some aspect of life. We have to be patient and kind and loving with ourselves. But also, as we are patient and loving and kind and forgiving to ourselves, we have to be those that way with other people as well. Because remember, they're creations of God as well. They are souls as well. They're just not, you know, Jim next door, or, you know, the idiot at work, or the relative that comes over and you just want to punch him in the nose all the time. No, they are creations and children of God as well. They are souls. They are spiritual beings. And so the important part is, when you get to know yourself, an important part of the process is getting to know your own soul and how you connect with God, and also how God connects with you. And this is what you start to learn on that process I talked about earlier, going within through prayer, contemplation, meditation. But one of the things you're also going to find in this journey of prayer, contemplation, and meditation is how the ego affects you. Is the ego your friend or foe? When we're really in touch with our true selves, our soul, and we have that connection with God, who is love, within ourselves and in our environment, we have a very peaceful, gentle, loving way of approaching life. The ego, on the other hand, always pulls us into anger, fear, worry, get mad, get even, start wars, be more right than everybody else. They're wrong, I'm right. I need to be better looking than everybody else. I need to be valid, you know, in this world. I have to live according to its standards so I'm accepted by society, or I'm all angst out. I have to have a better job. I have to have money. I have to have some kind of sense of personal importance and elevation, or, you know, I feel like I'm a nobody. All of that kind of thing is the ego. The ego never brings us peace. It's always bringing us worry and fear and stress and competition with everybody else. Ego can lead us into religious extremism, because we'll start to build God in our own image. What is God in our own image? It is making the ego our God. And when our ego says, hurt that person because that person is unrighteous or doesn't believe what you believe, or that person's a sinner, or whatever crazy thing the ego concocts in our mind, we will hear and we will obey. We'll judge others. We'll hurt others. Sometimes physically, many times with our words and how we treat them. We want to run them through. We want to run them down. We want to insult them. We want to belittle them. Because we're right. We're better. Something wrong with that person. That's ego. And ego is not your friend. And when you start going within, when you start this journey of contemplation and meditation, one of the things you're going to do is observe your own thoughts. And you're going to begin to see how much when you're trying to focus on that inner quiet, that inner space, that presence of God within, the ego is always trying to distract you. You're doing so well, then all of a sudden the ego is there saying, don't forget, we got to go to the store today. Oh, don't forget, we got to get that job done today. Don't forget, you got to clean the house. Hey, what are we going to have for dinner? You know, what about that so-and-so next door? You know, that son of a gun, we got to go punch him right in the nose. He had no right. You know, all these things will just start floating in on thoughts. And you'll start to recognize how intrusive and how negative the ego is. Really, it's a false god that leads us astray, because it's always leading us in a way that is not peaceful, not loving. We're never tranquil, we're never serene, we're always worried, we're always angry, angry at one another, angry at the government, angry at how things are going in the world. You know, we're always sticking, you know, to those labels that we have in society, you know, our job, our career, our political affiliation, our religious affiliation, and we're more right than everybody else. Everybody else on the other side is so stupid. Oh, these damn idiots, you know. That's the ego. The ego always wants to pull us into that kind of nonsense, and it never gives us peace. So that's one of the first things you're going to learn, is how to observe and recognize the ego. In Sufi mysticism, the ego is called the nafs, N-A-F-S. The nafs is the ego. The nafs always tries to trap you, to distract you, to pull you away from the path of peace and the path of love toward yourself and others. When we judge ourselves, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny, I'm too old, I'm too poor, I'm too whatever, you know, ludicrous or ridiculous thing we think about ourselves because of the way this world makes us think about ourselves, that's ego. And you'll start to recognize those things and how to push past and through it to find that quiet place within, that love of God, that peace of God. So I'm trying to keep this video relatively short and cover enough ground so you can begin to understand what Sufi mysticism is and what it is not. So just to recap the first three points. Number one, God is everywhere and God is love. He is not the man on the throne. He is not angry. He is not looking to send people to hell en masse. And just a bookmark there, we're going to talk about in a future podcast what exactly is hell or suffering in the hereafter in Sufi mysticism. It's not quite what you think it would be, so stay tuned for that. So God, you know, not angry, not looking to send people to burning hell in, you know, en masse. God is everywhere. God is love. God is very close to his creation. In fact, in Sufi mysticism, they look at the Quran that tells us to observe nature and see characteristics of the creator in his creation. When we see animals coming together like little families, and even insects like the ant having these communities, you know, Sufis tell us, you know, look and see, you know, this sense of love and, you know, togetherness that all creatures have. Birds, deer, animals, insects, all of God's creation is aware of his infinite love and expresses it in some way, and sometimes even towards different species. You know, if we have pets, or if we go out in the wild, and you know, I used to have some deer in my backyard that I tamed years ago, and you know, how I connected with those deer, and they started bringing their little ones around, and I would stand in this big, you know, this big group of deer, you know, bringing their babies and the bucks and feeding them apples. So everything responds to love, and we can get to know God, you know, characteristics of the divine or the creator through observing the creation. So again, God is everywhere. God is love. The Quran says God is closer to us than our jugular vein. So he's very, very close to us. He's within us. Number two, it's important to get to know yourself, your real self, your spiritual self, your soul, who you are and how you connect to God, and who God is and how he connects with you. This is going to bring you peace. This is going to bring you much more serenity in your life. It's going to change the way you look at the world and interact with the world around you, and even feel about certain things in the world around you. It's going to change the way you treat others. But number three, you're going to learn the ego is not your friend. And as you make this journey, you're going to find out how the ego always tries to distract you and pull you off that path of peace. But the good news is the ego can be overcome. We can get to a place where we push through it and we're more in that place of serenity and peace and feeling that presence and love of God rather than the fear and the anger and the worry and the stress and the anxiety and, you know, the separateness from others that the ego always brings. So these are the first three points I want to briefly make in this first video, because these are very important. This is a journey of discovering yourself and discovering God. So let's begin by taking all of the imagery off the table of who and what we think God is. The man sitting on the throne in the heavens, he hates who we hate. He's against what we're against. You know, he's, you know, we're the mini-me of God. Let's start to get rid of all of that. Let's start to realize that, you know, much of that is, or all of it is, ego. Let's start to realize who God really is. God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He's everywhere. He's love. And then let's start to go on this journey to discover ourselves, discover our soul, discover who we truly are, and in the process, discover God in that calm, in that place of silence, in that place of serenity. And let's start to recognize the workings of the ego and how it's always pulling us toward a place of non-love, non-peace. You know, the Quran talks about being led on the straight path, God leading us on the straight path, and then there's the path of those who go astray. You know, the ego always leads us on the path of going astray because it's off the path of peace, the path of love, the path of faith, the path of doing what is right, love and kindness. So I will leave that, all of that, with you this week, and I'll be back next time with more what is Sufism and what is not, and eventually we're going to get into some of the meditation practices and contemplation practices and help you start this mystical journey to discover yourself, discover God and start breaking free from the nafs or the ego. Thank you for listening. God bless, and I'll talk to you next time.